You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc. And we actually have two docs today because we are joined by a member of our team, Dr. Jason Way, who is one of our attending providers. And we're here to just do a quick conversation about a specific concept in homeopathy, which is that the concept of potency, which is what relates to the dilution of remedies. And so we wanted to just have a quick chat to help you understand what potencies are, differences between potencies, how we navigate through changing potencies and that type of thing. So welcome, Dr. Way. We're happy to have you here to help explain this a little bit.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So why don't we start with what potency actually means. And so from my perspective of this, and you can share if you want to, if you've got a different way to think about this, but when I say what potency means, I'm talking about like potentized. And so when we talk about the word potency, people usually use the word to mean like strength, right? And so we think if it's a higher dose, it's more potent. But in homeopathy, we actually are talking about the process of potentizing a remedy. And so weirdly enough, a more potentized remedy or a higher potency of a remedy is actually more dilute, which can be a little bit confusing to people. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Dr. Way?
Yes, because I think it's always confusing and it's really counterintuitive with how we normally think of things with homeopathy, that as the potency goes up, you're actually way more diluted. So mm-hmm. We use the centesimal system. So most of the ours are, you know, a C, the letter C is usually after the number. So we have, you know, 6C, 12C, 30C, and then you go up to 200C and it kind of builds up from there. And as you go up, that number is how many times it's been homeopathically diluted and prepared, which is a C centesimal is 1 to 100 dilution. And then you succuss it homeopathically, and then you take one part of that to another 99 parts of water, and you keep doing that for however many times the number goes. And so That gets really high as you go up to some of the numbers, like the M is, you know, 1,000 times, and it keeps building up from there. So it changes the remedy enough that the body doesn't recognize it and can keep getting a good response.
Yeah. So just to be really clear, when we see an M in something, so when it's like a 1M, 10M, 50M, those are still C potencies or centesimal potencies. It just means 1,000C or 10,000C. So the M stands for 1,000, but it's still in that same scale. That serial dilution and succussion is how we potentize a remedy and how we get to it. And we talked about one of the most recent episodes that we talked about, the aggravations and primary and secondary action. We talked about the minimum effective dose. And that's what we're really looking for with this potentization process, is to find the minimum effective dose. Jody, we'll pause here to see if you've got anything you want to share with moms or anything that like this suddenly makes sense to you that maybe didn't before.
I don't know if I have anything of value to add, but I can share that I got very comfortable with the fact that for a really long time, I didn't understand this, but you did. So I was okay. Like as long as my provider understands what this means, because when I get a little bit lost when y'all start talking about, you know, potentizing and whatever. And it took a really long time. I do understand it now. But in the midst of it, I was like, how can I be going up and giving less? And that doesn't make sense. But I just leaned into your training and understanding and knowledge of it all. So
the place where it gets a little bit more confusing, Dr. Way, and I'm sure you've seen this too, is when we talk about, changing potencies, right? Because you would think that you would go with the most dilute, since we want to look for the minimum effective dose. So you think we'd start everybody on like a MM potency, so like a 1,000 dilution. And we would increase from there with like increasing. And that is one way that we can do it. But people can still be responsive, even if you start with a 6C, which is less dilute, and then go to like a 30C, which is more dilute. So it's less of the original substance that's present. So realistically, what we see is that it's not specifically It is about the minimum effective dose and sensitivity to just a different preparation that does seem to be effective. And as we increase, as we go through higher potencies or more dilute, people still respond to them. But they do sometimes reach a point where it's too dilute and they don't respond anymore. What can you talk to us about with what you've seen?
I mean, I'll say it's often a like one of those things. It's just hard, like I was saying, it's hard to explain because it's counterintuitive. And so what I try to tell people is that the most important thing is that we're changing the potency, not necessarily that we're going always going up or down. It's that we're changing it to something that we haven't used recently, or maybe haven't used before. If we're at that point, we're needing to make a change. And there's reasons why we might need to make that change. But most often it's, again, we'll usually start with the lower potencies, and I kind of think of it this way, and I think a lot of us may think of it this way, is that the lower potencies are often a little bit more, you're more likely to get a response, even if it's not quite the best remedy. Maybe you'll get a cross response on some others. And as we get higher and higher potencies, that's where we have to often be really precise with the remedy to get good responses. And that's not necessarily always true. And we'll see things shift and cases will change as we go too. So sometimes that changes, but that's typically the way I see it. So a lot of times I'll want to start with that lower potency to make sure we're getting a good response. And then as we build up, we're getting more time in the healing zone with homeopathy, more time moving forward. And that's really what the whole concept in the system of potencies allows us to do, is get more time out of a remedy versus if we only had one potency, you're done, you're not responding. Yeah. We just have to go to a different remedy. So it gives a lot more flexibility.
So what Dr. Wei is referencing is something that is referred to as Bill Gray's curve, which is, he's a homeopath from, you know, well preceding us, that noticed this response that the lower potencies, more people tended to have a response to, and that the higher potencies, that you had to be more precise and more sensitive to have a response to those. And so that's, again, where we can get to the place where it doesn't necessarily mean that it's, if you're getting into the really higher potencies, that you're not having a response to them. It doesn't necessarily mean it's not the best fit. It could just mean that you're not sensitive to that level of dilution too. And so there is an advantage where, especially when things are really tough, like when pans and pandas, that we need to get some motion going, that using the lower potencies gives us a greater likelihood of getting to getting some movement. What do you want to add here, Jody?
I'm just listening again, like, I'm in that area where I just lean on y'all's understanding of it. And like, I stayed in a space of, okay, you got it. You understand, it makes sense. You know what the next potency is. So no input on that specifically.
So there are some people who will say that you need to use certain potencies for certain states. You know, some homeopaths believe that you need to use like a 200C for an acute and a 1M or 50M or whatever. I don't even know, because this isn't the way that we were trained and it's not the way that we practice. It's not our experience, but that you need like to use a certain potency for like mental, emotional states or like spiritual challenges or whatever. So just to make sure that we're like acknowledging that there are some people who practice that way, we have not found that to be necessary. And as Dr. Wei said, we can, it's not so much about the order that it's done. It's, for us, honestly, it's about making it so that we're not just like chaos and jumping around everywhere. So that there's a plan and like a way to make decision-making a little bit easier. I mean, realistically, you could start with 6C and then go to 50M and then go to 30C and then jump over to 10M and jump all around. And to be perfectly honest, at home, I do that with my kid, with whichever thing I can grab that she's, you know, hasn't been on most recently. So she jumps around in potencies a lot because of, you know, whichever thing I can happen to get, and it's still effective. So it's more about novelty and sensitivity to that particular preparation than it is about it being exactly like on a certain plan, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I'd add to that, I mean, sometimes some people just don't respond to a specific potency on a remedy, but they'll do fine on the next potency. So it's not, you know, there's definitely those odd situations where some people just don't sync with a certain potency, but they're still doing well in that remedy. And we just change to a different or higher or whatever potency, they're still doing quite well at that point. So it's not always there's no hard, fast rules with homeopathy. It's a lot of flexibility in figuring out what works for everyone.
Yeah.
and looking at the individual's response, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we, as you said, there are some people who don't respond to certain potencies. We have noticed in our practice that 200C and sometimes 50M are potencies that people don't respond to quite as well. And some people do though. So like, it's like a roll of the dice, you know, and I've heard from other types of practices too, other types of practitioners with different areas of focus, that 200C is like a big question mark. So there's 200C might be something about it in general that is just not quite as effective for a lot of people, or, you know, that people can have a different than typical or different than average for them response to it. But again, nothing is universal across the board. I've had plenty of Pans and Pandas cases that did respond to 200C. We just, in our practice, we skip it because there's enough of a pattern that we've seen that people don't respond that we just bypass it to just save time. But that 50M thing, if we see a not great response to 50M, we do usually question whether it's a non-response to that potency or if they're just not responding to that remedy anymore. So there's another scale that we use in our practice. It's the millesimal scale. People will either see this marked with Q or LM. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same thing, just in a different number ratio, I guess is the best way to put it. So where with the C scale that we were talking about, it was a 1 to 100 with the millesimal or the Q potencies or the LM, depending how you're used to hearing it, it's a 1 to 50,000. And so it's, the way I think of it is, it's a different way. It's a different preparation. And for some people it works much better, and for other people it just doesn't work. And so again, it's that figuring out what works for the individual, and we'll pull it in certain situations where sometimes someone's aggravating quite often to really low potencies on the C scale. And in those situations, we might see that they do much better on the LM potencies. I've had people who also did great all the way through the C potencies, and then we continue on the LMs and they've done well. So it's all figuring out what works for the individual on that one.
Yeah. So the LM tends to go LM1, LM2, LM3. So it's 1 to 50,000. And it's just a single jump from like another one. So it would be like going from 1C to 2C to 3C. And in a standard homeopathic practice, the commercially available ones do bigger jumps. So we typically go from a 6C to like a 12C or a 30C. And then from a 30C to a 200C, unless you skip it like we do, and then to a 1M. So there's big jumps in difference. There's a lot more. It's a bigger dilutions with the Q potencies, but once they make once you start with that, the next one up is not as big of a jump in, not as big of a difference. So for some people, they might need to skip every other one. So if they start on a 1, they might need to go to a 3 if they're not as sensitive to the 2, the LM2, because it's not enough of a change. Because again, it's not so much about the amount that's there, but it's about sensitivity to it. And sometimes it's like the difference, being different enough that your body can recognize it as something different. Sometimes I'll compare this to playing different notes on a piano. So like if we were playing a C note, after a period of time, our body sort of tunes it out. Like we tune out any noise. You play the same C note. When you change potency, you're just playing the same note, but playing it at a different octave. And it's just different enough that your body would tune into it again. Your ears would be like, oh, there's something else happening here. The same thing happens with a change in potency, that it's just enough different that you can tune in, but it has to be enough different that you can hear is something different than what you've started to tune out. And that's why that difference, that jump can make a difference for some people. We've also seen, so you mentioned that people who aggravate, who are tend to be more sensitive and aggravate more on the centesimal scale, can sometimes do better on the millesimal scale. Sometimes people too that are just, again, we have to look at the sensitivity to potency. And some people are only responsive to the lower potencies because they get too high and it's too dilute and they're just not responsive to them. The Q potencies are actually lower in dilution. And so some people just do better on the Q potencies because they are, like, if you're noticing that you respond well to 6C, 30C, and then you get up to 1M and just not responding, and that pattern is persistent, sometimes just switching to the LM potencies, we get more movement and have more longevity with remedies before we have to consider moving on.
I feel like I'm feeling the moms of aggravators watching this, and like that we have to talk about the fear of moving potencies, moving up in potencies when you have an aggravator. And when you were talking about the different octaves a second ago, I was thinking about, you know, back in the day, you explained it to me as the nudges that were nudging along. And then that nudge gets so low that our kids aren't really responding to it anymore. And then we change potencies and that nudge gets a little bit harder. And so if we have an aggravator, we see that harder nudge. And so we see the aggravation kick up a little bit. And then over time, it goes back down. But there can be so much fear around moving potencies, but it's actually a positive thing because we're going back into getting a more robust response. But it's still, it's hard as a mom with an aggravator to be like, oh gosh, here we go again. Like we're getting back on the crazy train and then things work themselves out. But there's fear there.
The thing that's always interesting to me about that is we only change potency if we're already getting ready to get on the crazy train anyway.
I know.
And it's the body is getting ready to get on the crazy train because we're starting to see regressions. We don't change potency to try and make things go faster because homeopathy, we can't make anything go faster than the body is going to go on its own because all homeopathy is a nudge to the body to do the healing that it is supposed to be doing on its own and restore homeostasis, restore balance. And so I get it. But it's one of those places that like, well, you could go into crazy town for a prolonged and who knows how long a period of time by doing nothing, by letting things just continue as they are, by making the choice and taking the action of inaction, or you can potentially have a mild aggravation for a short period of time that will then lead to improvements if you happen to be an aggravator. And again, most people don't aggravate. So I want to re-emphasize that since aggravations come up frequently in the homeopathy community, even though it's really not most people's experience.
Yeah. Tell me if this is more of a question. Tell me, because this is what makes sense to me with changing potencies, because everything in homeopathy is a little bit backwards. And it's backwards that whenever we're going up higher in potency, we're getting less of the original substance. So is my understanding that as we're moving Avery up in potency, she's getting less of the medicine or less of the original substance. So her body is actually doing more of the work as we're moving up further.
Dr. White, you want to tackle that?
I mean, it's an interesting concept. And I think the hard truth is we don't really know for the sure, but what we do know, like from the research that's out there, the way homeopathic succussion works is we get these nanoparticles and that's perpetuating as you keep going up and going through the potency. So if you think of it as an active dose, like we're used to thinking with like a pharmaceutical or a supplement, then yeah, you'd have to look at it that way. Like there's already almost nothing in there, you know, when you get to a 6 or a 30C, and then you keep going, yeah, it's going to be way less particles that could ever be in there. But at the same time, there's something within the process of the homeopathic succussion and preparation that is obviously doing something that is creating the effect that we're getting with homeopathy, for lack of, I'm sure there's a much better way to put this that you'll probably have.
I would say that the reality is her body's not doing any more of the work earlier on because her body was always doing the work. Because remember, homeopathy is the only thing homeopathy is providing is the nudge in the primary action so that the body can push back against it with the secondary healing response. So the secondary healing response is always the body pushing back against the homeopathic remedy that you used to stimulate that nudge. So it's always the body that's doing it. It's not necessarily doing any more of the work. She just doesn't need as much of a nudge for her body to still continue to do the work.
Okay, that makes sense.
What we see too is that one reason we can use lower or higher potency, so lower dilution later on as we're like healing, is that we've gotten enough momentum and we're gotten enough movement going with the healing process that lower doses can still stimulate a response because we don't have as much of a push to give. The only other potency that I think that we should talk about, and then we can talk a little bit about what to look out for on potency changes, would be the decimal potency. So that's what you might see in things that you would get over the counter. It's usually in combination products. That's where you see an X, and that's where we have a scale of 1 to 10 versus 1 to 100. They're far less dilute. There is a whole lot of the original substance left. This is where we do need to be worried about still generally safe, but many of these are not going to be able to be used. Like a 1x of belladonna is not going to be in an oral product, most likely, right? I can't say it for sure because I haven't looked at all of the things, but things that have like higher toxicity levels are not going to be able to be used in really high doses, even in a 1x. They're going to be more for like topical applications and things like that. So anything, again, can be used homeopathically, because homeopathy and the word homeopathic is about how it's prescribed, not about the medicine itself. So it's not about, like, we say that it's homeopathically prepared, and like even Dr. Wei said it earlier, and like we can fall into that habit, that the homeopathic is about how it is used, not necessarily how it is prepared. So you could give a homeopathic remedy in a non-homeopathic way, even if it's at a small dose. And so a lot of the things that are used in that are like homeopathically prepared in the X potencies or the decimal potencies, many of them are not used in a truly homeopathic way. They're used more for their primary action, just at a lower, safer dose. And that, a lot of the times that has to do with like marketing or manufacturing and regulations and things like that, why people would choose to use homeopathic versus just full strength of things. All right. So Dr. Wei, what would you want to tell people or make sure people are aware of to look out for when it comes time to change potency? What should they expect?
I always tell everyone the same thing I tell them when we start on a remedy in the beginning is, you know, it's a new potency. We don't know exactly that it's going to be the same exact response. So we want to be cautious and we want to be observing. So that's why we'll typically start, we'll give a first dose, we'll do what's called our trial dose, where we wait the 72 hours and we'll observe and see how that response goes. And then we'll adjust based off of that to change the dose of that new potency when we get started on it. So you know, just because you do great on a 30C doesn't mean you'll do great on a 1M as we go up or to whatever potencies we go up. And sometimes people go through no problems the whole way through. And sometimes you'll see, you know, you may start having some aggravations at potencies that you've been fine at others. So it's always treated as a new thing, even though it's the same remedy you've been on. And another misconception I've had is someone thinking, well, what if we take, you know, we add 3 pellets of the 30C to equal 1 pellet of the 1M and kind of thinking of that math, which is, you know, it's a reasonable consideration, but it's not the same, and they don't quite work that way too. So, cause I've had someone where, oh wait, you know, we broke the bottle, so I just started doing this many pellets of it to equal that. And it was a good thought, but it wasn't quite the right approach.
Yeah, you can't add up a certain number of 30C to get to 200C ever, because you have to actually dilute it more to get to 200C. You could theoretically potentially add enough 30C to get to 6C, but the reality is that like there's nanoparticles, there's changes in water structure. There's a lot of questions about exactly how homeopathy works. And the reality is it just doesn't add up. So you can't really even like those of you who are better at doing math than I am, could not take the exact right number of 30C to equal what a 6C dilution would be. And it just doesn't work the same, unfortunately. So
that right there is homeopathy mom math. Every single one of us has had that question before. Yeah. And when we're waiting for the next potency, we're like, but wait a minute, what if we do this? Or like, we can get it here quicker.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the piano scale thing, you can hit that same note on that octave so many times, but it's not going to change the octave to the next, what we'd consider the next potency.
Yeah. And the reality is, like, for anybody who's having that, doing that, as Jody said, homeopathy mom math, that it's not going to lead to the outcome that you want. If anything, it would likely delay the outcome that you want. So it's better to just wait for the right thing than to try and MacGyver your way into making something that it's not, to try and make up the difference. So generally with potency changes, like Dr. Wei said, you could possibly, you could have any of the reactions that you could, that we'd go over for the beginning. We have an episode about responses to remedies. Let me find which episode that is. Jody, I don't think you remember off the top of your head, do you? Responses to remedies, episode 39. So if you want to learn all the details about the responses to remedy, that's episode 39. So you can revisit that to get all the details so we don't take up your time here. Dr. Wei, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about with like misconceptions about potency or things that people really need to know and understand as they're using homeopathy?
I mean, I think we hit on all those pieces. It's always just, you know, if you're not sure what's going on, always reach out to your provider and they'll be able to help guide you on it. But I think we hit the highlights of kind of the main things to know about. I mean, what is a potency? Why do we change potencies? What to expect? I think those are all like all the big pieces.
Yeah. And if you're still confused, if there is anything that we as people who live and breathe homeopathy all day, every day, that we understand that we're not recognizing that we need to share, or we're not explaining well, let us know. There's you can reach out to us at our email, podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, or you can, of course, connect with us on any of our social, and you can find all of that with the links in the show notes. All right, guys, hopefully this was helpful in understanding the differences of potencies and all of that, and understanding what potency actually means. And we will be back with you guys next week for our next episode. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.